And so if I never get one more blessing, if I never have one more good thing happen, I'm already blessed more than I deserve. So I don't need any others. I want more. I'm sure you do too. And I know I will receive more because of the goodness of God in my life. But someone said that pride is what slays Thanksgiving. Pride slays Thanksgiving because a proud man is seldom a thankful man, because a proud man never gets as much as he thinks he deserves. And think about that. Pride is the slayer of Thanksgiving. And so you should be able to be thankful. But I'm going to ask you a question today, and it might sound like an odd question, but let me ask it anyway. Will you be thankful 1,000 years from now? And what will you be thankful for 1,000 years from now? Or how about 200 years from now? Will you be thankful 200 years from now? And some of you are looking at me like, boy, you don't know much. None of us are going to be around. I am. I'm going to be. And I hope that whatever it is you're thankful for, you can still be thankful for 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now. And if you don't understand that, let's talk about that today. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 100, and then I'll pray, and we'll go on. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so there you see that last verse. His mercy is not just long, it's everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations, not just one or two. And so let's think on that, and let's pray, and we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to read from it and to preach from it. Help me to be guided by your Holy Spirit to say what you'd have said, and to be heard as you'd have heard, and that you would speak to our hearts today. We thank you so much for the blessings of the day already. Pray for those missing, that they'll be able to be back with us very soon. We pray for Lorraine and her future. Thank you so much for her salvation. And please help her to continue to move forward, to grow, and that you'll continue to bless her life. We thank you for the opportunity to baptize her and others this month and in the near future. I pray that you just guide and direct all that's done and said. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, most people are thankful, and during this time of Thanksgiving, even the world, when I say the world, someone who's not a Christian, but maybe someone who can stop and reflect on something to be thankful for. But most everything that they'll say is something temporary, something like family. And hopefully you are thankful for your family, and hopefully that you can give thanks for the fact that you have a family. But, you know, family is temporary. Family is not necessarily a permanent thing. We have loved ones that pass away, and they leave us behind, and that's a heartbreak. And as much as we would love to hang on to our family, we don't necessarily have the ability to do so. I have family that I didn't even know I had in South Dakota. I didn't know this until a few years ago, but I have a great-great-great-grandfather who was a state senator here in South Dakota. And I went to the Capitol a few years ago, and I flipped through all the pictures of all the senators and congressmen that have been in the past, and I found him. Never met him. Don't have a clue anything about him or anything even of his direct descendants until my grandmother came on the scene. That's the only one I knew of his family. But I'm thankful for my family, but to be honest with you, I don't know anything about my great-great-grandfather who was a state senator. I'm thankful for friends, and we can be thankful for friends, and we ought to be. Hopefully you have friends and you're thankful for them, but again, we can lose our friends, and our friends can be taken from us. And I'm thankful for freedom, and freedom is certainly a blessing. And it has been a blessing to be an American. And hopefully you are thankful that if you were born an American, you already are born with a great advantage to most people in the world. But let me ask you a question. Did you know that you can lose freedom? And do you know that freedoms can and are being taken away? Sometimes we take freedom for granted and we are not aware. Aaron, you got some someone waiting for you up here. You should sit right there with that lady right there, right here in the third row. But Aaron got all the way from Wall, blew in from Wall. Thanks for coming. We could go down this rabbit trail of freedom right now, but I won't. But we all know that freedom is something that is not necessarily guaranteed. But we can be thankful for freedom. And I'm sure someone out there, as time marches on, or maybe an athlete or someone will say this on a TV screen somewhere, thankful for family, thankful for friends, thankful for freedom. How about health? Most of us don't really think about health, and we're not usually grateful for health until we start to lose it, until it slips from us. But the ability to move and to function, what a blessing health is, but it is not necessarily a permanent blessing, as many of us know. Or wealth. Some of us are saying, what's that? If you had it, it doesn't mean you'll get to keep it. But we can be thankful. And all of us, again, if we're born in this country, we have more wealth than we know. But those are all temporary things, really. They can all be taken from you. And a few years ago, I was thinking about this when it comes to Thanksgiving. A lot of people, unfortunately, especially if God is not the center point of their life, a lot of people are thankful for things that are just temporary. Glad they're thankful, but it's just temporary. I remember one person said, you know, what does an atheist do for Thanksgiving? Who does he thank? You know? But without God, your Thanksgiving is rather temporary. But I'm going to tell you about some things that Christians have that aren't just temporary, that we can be thankful for all the time. And it doesn't matter if family forsakes us or friends or freedom is taken or even health or wealth. Christians have more. Number one, Christians in John chapter 10, and Jesus is speaking of himself being the good shepherd and the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And how that in John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. And by the way, Jesus is still the door. No man goes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. No one enters eternity but by the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot climb up some other way or go around some other entrance. There's only one way, and that is through Christ himself. He is the door. And so if you have salvation today, it's because you went through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have it, it's because you've either not cared or you've tried some other way and it will not work. We're baptizing someone today, and that's a blessing. But let me tell you something. This person that's getting baptized today is not getting saved today. This person's already received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've already gone through Jesus Christ. And now that she's no longer employed on Sunday mornings and she's able to get baptized, she's going to get baptized today. But this will not solidify her salvation. It rather is just a testimony. It's kind of like this gold ring I got on my finger right here. This ring is a testimony of something that I made a decision to do. And so this ring is the testimony of my love for my wife and that public display and that public ceremony of being married with my wife. But this ring doesn't make me married. It's just the symbol. The same thing with the baptism today. It will not save Lorraine. It will just simply outwardly demonstrate that she is already a believer and a Christian. Because it is Jesus Christ and him alone. And to back up what I just said, the thief on the cross that was dying next to Jesus, who said, Lord, remember me, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I don't think for one minute that the centurion soldiers said, oh, time out! We got to get that guy baptized. They didn't care. But that thief received salvation hanging next to Jesus on a cross. And there was no good works involved. There was no church membership, baptism, or anything, you know. So the door is Jesus Christ and him alone. And those of us who have been saved, Jesus goes on to say in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Christians have something that the world doesn't have. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Jesus said back in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John chapter 3, 36, he that hath a son hath life. Life eternal. Everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10, 1 John 5:10, it says it this way. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're calling God a liar. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? Because if you have him, you have life eternal. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I know that I have life eternal because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have eternal life because of my abilities or because of what I do, because of any work or accomplishment or achievement. I'm not a born-again Christian on my way to heaven because I'm a pastor or a church member or a Christian that does things. I'm on my way to heaven because I'm a Christian, because I'm saved, because I'm born again. And even if I didn't do one other good thing in my life, I still would have that life eternal. A lot of people don't teach that or believe that or preach that, but that's what the Bible says, that they could have life eternal. Now that changes everything, because no longer am I just thankful for the way things used to be. No longer am I just thankful for the here and now or this life only, but I'm thankful for life eternal. We heard this song that was arranged by a lady who lost her husband, left behind with 8 children. But eternal life gives those children hope that they'll see their father again. That if they believe and trust in the same Savior, which they do, they will one day see their daddy again in heaven. Christians have more because we have eternal life. And no matter what this world has to offer or what this world can take away, they cannot take away life eternal. Along with that, look with me also in 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you've heard me talk about being saved, having eternal life. Let me tell you something, that from the day I got saved, I have been perfect in God's eyes. I have been clean and righteous before God. But my wife's sitting in here, and I can't possibly tell you I've been clean, righteous all the time, because she knows me better than that. You say, well, you mean you can fool God, but you can't fool your wife? No, no. God knows too. The problem is, or the difference is, I would say, is that my God has forgiven me, and his Son pays for my sin. It's not that I'm really clean, because as much as I want to serve him and please him and to not sin, I still sin. But you know what Christians are? Christians are confessors. We confess our sin. Now, we don't, on Saturday night, go talk to some guy with a backwards collar and a long black robe on. We don't confess to any human priest. The Bible says in Hebrews, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And not only did he die on the cross for my sin, but 3 days later he rose from the grave and now he's alive. And so I daily am reminded of things and made aware of things that I need to ask God forgiveness for. And so I constantly seek out the forgiveness of sin. Now, I have been forgiven. I'm saved. But I continue to see areas in my life where I need God's helping. There's where our verse comes in. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. That's talking to the believer, not just anybody there, but to the believer, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, once you start believing, you have access to the same forgiveness of sin. And the forgiveness of sin comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and the payment on the cross. Now, sometimes I've done this. I don't have the ability to do it right now. But sometimes I will take a piece of paper and I'll draw two columns on it. And on one side of the column, on one column, I'll have my name. And at the top of the other column, I'll have Jesus' name. And underneath Jesus' name is a clean and pure, white as snow list. And then over on my side, where my name is, there is all kinds of marks on it. And I'll draw those two columns as an illustration. And many of you have seen me do this, and I've done it with you, some of you in private, and just showing you, explaining to you the difference between me and Jesus and the difference between forgiveness and non-forgiveness. And when I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ crossed out my name and wrote His own name over that dirty list of marks of sin and guilt. And then over His name, He crosses out His name and He writes my name. And underneath is that clean slate. That's what salvation forgiveness is. I don't deserve that. And technically speaking, that isn't correct. But that's what salvation is. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1, He is the propitiation. Verse 2, He is the propitiation for our sin. The substitute. The atonement for sin. And you know what's even more amazing than all that is that if I sin again, even after I have been saved, the mark goes under His name. And I still get His clean record. The Bible says He, God, made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We've been studying in Revelation, and the people that are in heaven, the saints, all have white robes. And the white robes, the Bible says, are the righteousness of Christ. Not our own. That's why when Jesus told the parable of the man who tried to come in without a wedding garment, he was kicked out. The ability to go to heaven is not of my own. It's through His righteousness. And I'm dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Look with me over in Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, speaking of Abraham, and it says in verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and that it was counted unto him for righteousness." What made Abraham righteous? Believing God. I said it a few weeks ago, I'll say it again. There are people that are a part of this church that used to be in jail or prison. You say, "Well, I wouldn't be advertising that if I were you." Oh, we should be advertising it more. Because you know what makes you righteous? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting Him for salvation. I feel sorry for people who go to church with a bunch of self-righteous folks. People who go to church with somebody who's self-righteous, who doesn't have the righteousness of Christ. Boy, they talk about a dead church. Got a bunch of fakers and hypocrites and Pharisees. Now listen, salvation comes through belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You try to work for this salvation? The whole reward's based on a work for it system. And you'll not get there. But rather the Bible teaches, and the song says, amazing grace. Verse 5, "But to him that worketh not," this is the verse right here, "but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him." In other words, you're not trying to work your way to heaven, you're just believing. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. There it is. That justifieth the ungodly. That's what Jesus did when he changed places with me on those two columns. He justified my ungodly by giving me his righteousness. And he takes my sin as his own and died on the cross for it. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Christians have eternal life because Christians have forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness. Record clean. Pardoned. Washed white as snow. Forgiven. And then notice also, and I've alluded to it already, but Hebrews chapter number 13 and Hebrews chapter 4. Christians can be thankful all the time because Christians have access to him all the time. You hear the phrase 24/7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As a believer, I have lost loved ones. There are people who have left and have died and gone to heaven, or they've moved away for whatever reason, maybe a job moved them away, or maybe there's been a falling out and we are separated from one another and no longer close like we used to be. Those things happen. But you know what? Access to him is 24/7. The Bible tells us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse number 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now you think about that. Right now I've heard a lot of people talking and in my opinion, spending too much time worrying about the events of our world. Don't get me wrong, I don't live, you know, with my head in the clouds pretending like nothing's wrong. But friend, long before any election, God was still on the throne, and he still is on the throne. And I'll not fear what man can do unto me. Oh, wait, Pastor, you just wait till you what happens next. I don't want to. Why would I want to wait around for what's going to happen next? I already know who's in charge. God's in charge. I have access to him. You know, it doesn't depend on a cell phone signal, my access to him. My ability to communicate with him is constant. It's really just up to me and whether or not I'm right with him or not. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great truth. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Bible tells us and warns us and reminds us that God's in charge. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, we all ought to have a pastor. Someone ought to be over us and leading us and guiding us. And God's given us pastors, and a lot of people just reject the idea of having a local church and a pastor. And verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm sure none of you have this problem, but when I was younger as a young man, I had a problem with human beings not being perfect. It really bothered me. Probably nobody in here has that problem, but I did. It just irritated me a lot that I had Christian school teachers that were not perfect, you know, and there was people that, when you're a teenager, teenagers have this hypocrisy radar, you know, and we all recognize the hypocrisy in adults. The thing is, I got to warn the teenagers, you're going to become an adult too, you know, and then you're going to be just as hypocritical like those other adults you were pointing your finger at. Listen, I learned a long time ago in my teenage years to love that song. We have it in our hymnal, Always the Same. Always the Same. There's one person that's always the same. There's one individual that never changes. He never promises one thing one day and changes it the next. So there are adults that do that. There are teenagers that do that. People fail us. But you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he never changes. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I might have had a grandparent that might have sat me on their knee and said, I love you so much and I'll never leave you. You know what? But that grandparent, as much as they meant that, they couldn't make that happen. But I have a Father in heaven, and I have the Lord Jesus Christ who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 27 says, when my father and mother hath forsaken me, the Lord will take me up. I have access to someone that loves me so much he died for me. Not only that, but look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So many people rely on some human priest somewhere to hopefully understand and feel their pain. We don't have that kind of a priest who's just human. No, we have a heavenly high priest. It says here in verse 15, the middle of the verse, but was in all points. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Nobody but Christ can fully understand what you're going through, because he went through it himself. He has felt pain, and he knows what it's like to be hurt and rejected and misused. Verse 16, because of all this, it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There were times in my life where I felt like my mom or dad couldn't fully understand me. There were times in my life where I felt like my wife can't fully understand me, or my children, or my friends can't fully comprehend or understand. But there is someone, no matter what time of my life it is, there is someone who I can bow my head who knows not just the circumstances, but the behind-the-scenes background, who understands why my heart hurts, who understands me better than I understand me. And that's my Savior. And the Bible says I can come boldly to the throne of grace, and I can obtain mercy and grace in time of need. That's what a Christian has. We have the eternal life. We have the constant ability to have our sins forgiven, and the knowledge that it has been forgiven and cleansed. And as far as the east is from the west, he's removed those things from us. And we have constant access to him. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19 that he'll supply all your need if you're a Christian. And my God has supplied my need. He has taken care of me in more ways than I can count. And he has met my need, and he has taken care of my family and my loved ones. And God supplies our needs. Maybe my wants didn't get filled, but I found out that those were bad wants. But he supplies my needs, and he fixes the things that I need fixed. And what he doesn't fix, he lets me have the grace to get through it. Psalm 118 verse 6 says, the Lord's on my side. I don't need to fear what man can do unto me. He's on my side. Why should I fear what man can do unto me? Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is what a Christian has. This is what you have if you're a believer that the world doesn't have. Oh, but I need to tell you something else. Because I'm a Christian, and those of us who've been studying Revelation, we just went through Revelation 20 last week. We'll be in chapter 21 tonight. Because you're a Christian, you know what else you have that you can be thankful for forever? I have a family that's eternal. I have a family that's eternal. Oh no, I'm not going to just stand up and say, I'm thankful for my family, but sooner or later we'll all be dead and we'll all have lost each other. I've got family that's in heaven. I have grandparents that are in heaven. Soon, I'll probably have parents in heaven. And eventually I'll be there. See, if you're a Christian, you don't really lose your family. Not only do I have just my biological grandparents and parents, but I have so much extended family. I have extended brothers and sisters that are in heaven. Family and friends. You know, I've been reading a lot of the Bible, and I read Revelation. You know, Revelation indicates that there's a lot of freedom in heaven. I've read every page of the book of Revelation, and I've read a lot of the other prophecy books, and I haven't found one thing in there that says the IRS is in heaven. Instead, I read that Jesus Christ is the ruler of that new millennium and the eternal heaven after that. You talk about freedom. See, I believe as a Christian, you don't really lose freedom. You gain freedom. Right now, this world wants to steal all the freedom they can, especially if you're a believer. But one day, all that plus some is coming back. Even in our greatest days down here, none of us were so free as to take a ride on a lion. You know, the Bible says one day the lion will eat straw like the ox. The wolf and the lamb will lie down together. I can't imagine being so free as Adam and Eve once were, where they could just do whatever they wanted and enjoy the freedom of the Garden of Eden. But one day that new millennium is coming and that new world is coming, and I'm looking forward to that. Satan hates freedom, and he hates people who are free. He hates God's people, and so he takes as much freedoms away as he can. But I'm telling you, I'm a Christian. I'm going to a place where it's just freedom every day of your life. And then health. Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. It also says in Revelation chapter 21, behold, I make all things new. I know some of you in here laugh at me when I say I'm getting old. But I am getting old. And some of you are saying, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, sonny. But I'll tell you what, I get out of bed some days and, oh, wow, what's that? But you know what the Bible says about Revelation? I make all things new. Can you imagine waking up every morning and it's new again? I'm going to be like, huh, hair, where did that come from? New. Can you imagine living in a world where it's always new? What will you be thankful for 1,000 years from now? I'm telling you what I'm going to be thankful for. I'm going to be walking around saying, look at this. Y'all never thought I'd be tall, dark, and handsome. Here I am. Freedom, family, friends, health, wealth. You think you need a little more? Just chisel off some of the road up there. They pave it with gold. I hope I'm encouraging you, but I hope I'm making you think. I hope you realize that if everything you can really be thankful for can be something that can be taken from you, you don't have much. If everything that you count your blessings for right now is something that can be taken from you and that's all you got, you don't have much. But if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, God has the ability to give you some things that you can be thankful for in the now, but you know you'll be thankful for in the future. Let me encourage you to live what the Bible teaches, to focus on seeing your family saved and on their way to heaven. Your friends on their way to heaven. And whether or not you lose freedoms in the here and now, you know you're there, going to see that and experience that again in heaven. Same with health and wealth. See, 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now, it's going to be like that song says, Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, there'll be no less days to be thankful than when we first began. Think about it. There's never a time from the day you got saved for the rest of eternity that you can't be thankful. And I feel sorry for you. if the best things you can be thankful for are just temporary, just here and now. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. I love this story, and so I like telling it. I don't know exactly when it happened, but it happened a while ago. And a young single mom working a job here in Custer, giving up on God, goes to work at the bakery, says to herself, there's no God. If there was a God, I wouldn't have such a messed up situation. I think if God was real, he'd have shown it to me by now. Quitting on God. Does her waitressing at the tables. Some random strangers are in there. There's always strangers in the bakery on the summer months. Some lady, complete stranger, leaves that single mother waitress a tip of $250 with a note on the receipt saying, honey, I don't know why, but God told me to tell you that He loves you. And He just wants you to know that He loves you. And it was like God tapped her on the shoulder and said, you might be quitting on me, but I'm not quitting on you. I love that story. Let me tell you why I love that story. Because, first of all, nobody knows who that person is. Nobody knows who this stranger in the bakery was that day. Nobody knows who that was. Could have been God sending an angel. We never know. But somebody was investing in a complete stranger that day. I never left a $250 tip anywhere. Have you? Somebody was investing in someone else. Well, that single mom, she has a brother that started coming to church here. And then she started coming to church here. And she got saved. And now today she's getting baptized. And I can thank God 100 times more for that, because that story will never get old. Her salvation will never wear out. She'll be there for the rest of eternity. That's something we can thank God for. There's always something to give thanks to God for. And if you're not saved, get saved and find out what in the world I'm talking about. And if you are saved, but you've forgotten how good God is and how good you've got it, get on track. And find out what eternity is all about, what it matters the most. If you live for this life only, you're a miserable person. But if you're living for eternal things, praise God for it. What a blessing. We're going to bow our heads for a moment of prayer. And then I'll ask Mr. Adams to lead us in another song here in just a moment. But let's close in prayer first of all. Our heads are bowed. Before I pray, I'm going to ask a couple questions. Number one, first of all, let me ask this. Would there be someone that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I died, I'd be in heaven. I don't know what it means to be saved, but I'd like to know more about that. Pastor, would you or your wife show me from the Bible how I can be saved? I'd be glad to. Would there be anyone here with a raised hand say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd be in heaven. Anyone at all? Please don't hesitate to raise your hand or to seek me out or my wife. We'd be glad to visit with you and talk to you about salvation. Secondly, if you know you're saved, what are you thankful for? Are you living for eternity? Are you headed to a place that's so much better? And do you understand the temporary versus the eternal? Do you understand what life is all about and how that he that hath the Son is the one that hath life? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to hear from your word today, to be reminded of simple truths from the Bible. Help us to fully trust in you and you alone. Please guide and direct our steps. Please guide our hearts and minds. Help us to live like believers who believe and point people to an eternal life. Help us to be the thankful people, not the ungrateful people. Yes, this world has problems, but this world is temporary. But our eternity is just getting started. Help us to be focused and to focus others on eternal things. and help us to be, of all people on planet Earth, the most thankful people there is. Lord, I thank you, and I give you praise for your goodness to me, and for salvation, and for the hope of heaven. I thank you for Larae's salvation, and how much you love her, and how much you have pursued her. And I pray for the salvation of her family and others around her. And we ask that you just use her testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob, if you'll come and leave.